Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Breakthrough in our finances, session 8, Healthy Financial Habits. So in this series, we have been talking a lot really about giving and managing our money so that we can give. And really, the entire purpose of the series has been to do whatever it is that we have to do to align things in our lives and in our finances so that we can be radical givers, so that we can encounter God. And so that's the three-step process. Is there's some things we need to get in order and set in place in order that we could be just serious givers. I mean, generous givers. But not generous givers for the sake of generosity only, but generous givers so that we could encounter the even more generous God on his terms. And so that's really what this whole series has been about, in order to get breakthrough in our finances. So what we want to do tonight is we're going to wrap up a bunch of ideas we've already talked about. We're going to kind of connect some dots. I'm going to give us a few healthy financial practices out of the book of Proverbs tonight before we're done. And hopefully we'll be able to just walk away from this series with a better handle and just a more healthy perspective on our money and a bit of an itch to try to give radically so that we can encounter the Lord more. So in the midst of all this, it has been fun for me to hear some of the testimonies that have been coming out even in the midst of the series. Like people that have had cool things happen to them while we've been doing this series, that have been taking up pieces of the series or teachings that we've presented or points from this, these seven, eight sessions. And then seeing the Lord move and do things even in the last 7, 8 weeks, however long we've been doing this thing. So I actually wanted to have Andrew come up and share a testimony. He had something pretty cool happen to him, and it's just so right in line with what we've been talking about. And my great joy here is that since I introduced some of these ideas, and I saw the first couple of weeks some of your eyebrows go up, go, "Oh, I've never even thought about this before." Since we started introducing these ideas, testimonies have been happening even in our midst that don't have anything to do with me. I mean, it wasn't just my stories. I mean, these are stories that are being produced by those that are embracing these ideas. And so I just heard what was going on with Andrew, and I was like, "Oh, bro, would you be willing to share that?" So I'm just going to hand it off to Andrew. So take a couple minutes.
All right. So two or three weeks ago now, we were sitting in encounter service at the prayer room, and I had $5 in my wallet, and that was the last $5 we had. Literally. And so we were just like, I'm like kind of holding on to it pretty tight. But and then I'm sitting there. Lauren was sitting behind me, and all of a sudden she like taps me on the shoulder, and she had Anna, and it was offering time. And I'd already kind of been feeling like from the Lord, like I felt like he was telling me that I was supposed to give the $5. And I was like, "Lord, like if this is really you, like I need you to tell me." Like, she's like, "Anna needs some money to go give." And I was like, "Okay." So I pulled out my $5 bill and I gave it to her. And as she's walking up there, she's walking up and I'm praying, only, "Lord, multiply that $5. Like, it's $5. Like, it's the last five I have." So I was like, "Just bless it. Whatever you do with $5. And later on that week, we got a text message from Tori. And she's the head over the finances and stuff. And we had gotten that week an anonymous donation for $3,000. And so it's just like, "Lord, was that because of the $5? Like, wow." And so then I'm like, "All right, Lord, like, that's awesome." And then a couple, like maybe a week later, we got another $300. So it was just like, the Lord's just blown us away, and it's just super cool. So
that's awesome. You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like Luke 6. Verse that we started reading, started this series, Luke 6. Let me find it here. It's in our Bible. "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." With the measure, not the amount. What was the measure that was left in Andrew's pocketbook? He gave 100% of what he had. He gave 100% of what he had. It wasn't the amount. It was the measure. And it was the bit of a crisis in his soul. Do I do this? Do I trust the living God? Or can I try to stretch that $5 on my own? And with the measure that he used, it was poured back into his lap. And the way that this verse in Luke 6 reads, it sounds like it's more than one thing happening. You know, it sounds like there's multiple stuff coming. I mean, it says, it'll be given to you, a good measure, but then it's pressed down. Well, it's pressed down so that more could be put in. And then it says, then it's shaken together, and then it's running over. And it says it'll be poured into your lap. I mean, the idea is that you've got a bucket in your lap, and you fill it as best you can, and then you push it down so you can get some more in there, and more comes in there, and then it's running over, and then it's poured out all over your lap because it's like you got way more than you knew what to do with. The bro started with $5, and he ended with a boatload more than that, and it's just a perfect example of how this works. That I can't promise you it happens every time that way. I mean, Andrew's maybe done that before. I don't know. I've done that before and nothing happened, but I've done that before and it happened. I'm just like, man, if all you got to do is test God in this thing, you just don't know what he's going to do. And the Lord promises that he will give to you if you give to him. And so I was so encouraged by that story because all the things that are going on behind the scenes to make that happen, you know, wherever the anonymous donation came from and whatever it is they were thinking, you know, maybe they were having a conversation with the Lord too. Lord, maybe we're supposed to do something with this $3,000 and if so, show us or something. I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows how all that landed? And then Andrew's sitting there and then a 2-year-old comes up behind him, 1.5-year-old, and is like, I need money to put in a bucket. You know, and it's like, and all he has is all he has. And he's having a conversation with God right at that moment about the whole deal. I mean, this is, the Lord is setting us up. And I just want to re-invite you into engaging the Lord on this level and in this way. One of the takeaways that I really hope we walk away from this series with is 2 Corinthians 8:7. I think it's a verse that we've covered in one of the sessions, 2 Corinthians 8:7. And it says, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And that's been my prayer for us as a church, that we would learn to excel in this grace of giving. Not that it would be something that we do or do begrudgingly, but that we would excel at it. You know, if you ever had something that you were really good at, that you maybe you didn't even know that you were good at, maybe a job presented an opportunity to you for you to use a skill set that you never knew you even had. And you started to do it a little bit, you found out, man, I'm really good at this. I'm excelling in this. It's what we're really hoping for and praying for. It was Paul's prayer for some believers, those that were in Corinth. It's my prayer for us that we would excel. And the only way we're going to excel is to stick our neck out there, to try this, to take the living God up on this and to watch for those encounters. And I just imagine as Andrew and Lauren are sitting there, and Andrew probably had to tell Lauren later that he gave away the last $5. I mean, and she goes, oh my gosh, I'm making up this part of the story. And as they have to process, we don't have any more money. The God of power who sees them and knows them and watched their end of the transaction breaks in with a power display called $3,000. It blew their mind. It's so powerful. This is how God works. This is what he wants to do. So I just want to invite us into that again. The tendency is that we would hold on to our money, that we would be unwilling. And my hope is that these stories have had a power, have a powerful impact on us to the point to help us overcome the love for money, which our culture is certainly all about, is hoarding our money, hanging on to every dollar that we have. Again, a little reminder scripture, 1 Timothy 6:10, talking about the way that really culture works, and certainly American culture, kind of the normal default perspective on finances is a love for money. And Paul tells Timothy, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And some people eager for money have wandered from the faith, piercing themselves with many griefs. And just this concept that love of money, it's the It's a very high a priority on God's agenda to uproot that from the human heart because he knows the dangers of it. I mean, the verse we just read talks about people like running away from Jesus and falling into serious sin and abandoning the faith because of their love for money. God desires to uproot the love for money in our hearts, and the way that he does it is by calling us into being generous givers. And by being generous givers, we avoid the love for money. And by being generous givers, we usher in his financial breakthrough and blessings. I just, I want to read a couple of verses here about following after those that are following Jesus on a particular line of thought. You guys are familiar with these verses. 1 Corinthians 11:1 and Hebrews 13:7-8. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow the example of Christ." Author of Hebrews says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And really, not just the same yesterday, today, and forever, but the same God of all the earth to all mankind. And if he did it for your leaders, he'll do it for you. And I want to make a bold statement. I promise you this is real. This is a real way to live, and it works. Again, we did a whole session on the seasons when there's serious difficulty and it's not landing like you want it to. But in the long run, this works. I want to invite you into this. As I've been doing this for 15 years, I am so glad that I have. Because I've got stories, because my heart's invigorated, because I've got energy when it's not working to remember back on all the crazy supernatural stories that the Lord did to give me grace and strength and faith to keep moving. I want to tell you that this journey of encountering God in the area of finances has been probably the number one. I mean, I'll say that again. It has probably been the number one on-ramp for me to know God, for me to walk with God, to know who he is, to encounter him, to believe as a growth, an on-ramp for growing in my relationship with Christ. This has probably been the number one. It's not been the only, but it has probably been the most provoking agent to draw me closer to Jesus over the years because I've just seen him break in with crazy miracles. You know, maybe if I would have seen a bunch of people get raised from the dead, then I would be up here doing a sermon series on, you know, healing and how healing has been the main thing that has caused me to, you know, have my eyes open to the power of God. But it hadn't been that way. It's been the area of finances. It has been wild for 15 years to see this happen. And I want to invite you to imitate this. This is real. This is so real. And I want to invite you to examine, as the author of Hebrews says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. This works. These stories are real, and I want to invite you into that. So if you were thinking, well, this might be for somebody else, this might, you know, this really may not be something I really want to get myself into, I want to challenge you to throw that away and to embrace a life of radical giving because of all that the Lord wants to do in, through, and to you as a result of it. Well, Psalm 20, 6 through 7. Just want to touch on this real quick because the idea of giving our finances, as we've been doing this whole series, is about not putting our trust in our own abilities. I mean, why in the world would you give away some of your strength if you were convinced there was no other way to get strength except what you were able to amass for yourself? Like, that would be actually bad math. If there was no other way for finances to come into your lap except through your natural capacities, through your abilities, if it was really about you, if you are really your provider, then it is silly to give away money. But the truth of the matter is we've got to remember who's in charge of all the money in all the world. The Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We will trust in the name of our God. And so in the midst of this series about giving, and we'll cover some other financial habits today that are healthy, I just don't want us to put our hope in a habit, our hope in a savings account, our hope in a job, our hope in an education. You got to put your hope in God. And if you put your hope in God, if your hope is really resting in God, it makes it a lot easier to give away money because you weren't thinking that money right there was going to save me from this peril. Instead, you were seeing it rightly and going, the Lord is the one who's on the throne and all the money of the earth is his. And I'm a steward and I want to follow the direction that the Lord was leading. I love in Andrew's story, it's not always this way, but I love that at least in this story, it landed really good, is that in Andrew's story, he said, I just kind of had a little nudging from the Lord already that he might want me to do this. Like, it wasn't just Andrew being zealous. I'm just going to go give away my last $5. And there's times and places for that, just out of sheer zeal. But in that situation, it was a little bit of leading from the Lord. Some direction about what to do with that last bit. Almost like a test me in this, Andrew. See if I won't pour out more abundance than you know what to do with. That there was some leading from the Lord. And so my hope here in just all this long rant on this is that we wouldn't let fear or being convinced that we are our deliverer or that those finances that we've got are going to be the way that we're getting out of the deal or get saved or from a situation or have our problems taken care of, that we wouldn't allow that line of thought and those fears to keep us from the leading of the Lord regarding being generous on all occasions. So, little overview on stewardship here. We're going to be covering just kind of a lot of different things in this last wrap-up session. And again, a lot of it is a review. We've been called to steward what we've been given. You can't steward what you were never given. And most people, unless you've spent some time thinking about it, aren't thinking about their money in terms of stewarding God's resources. Many times we're thinking about my money, my life, my way. And what we really want to have in this shift of thinking is to begin to see those resources as the Lord's that we want to steward well over. And this includes not taking on more than he's allotted to us. There's such a tendency to work more than we maybe even would need to. I think about all the homes in America that I believe, at least in many of the scenarios I'm about to describe, it was not the plan of God. Now, maybe some of them it was, and they just did some other things that were a little bit wrong that messed things up. There's so many homes in America that are broken because the father figure worked too much to provide for the family. And while the finances were in place, the relationships were torn. The distance was there. There was just so much, difficulty. And I just think about, all those situations where, I'm just thinking about that generation of baby boomers, so many of our parents that maybe just, labored and weren't around a lot. And there's this tendency to just keep working and work and work and work more and more in order to be able to make financial means to be able to provide. And we just want to make sure that whatever it is we take on was what the Lord instructed and not our own desire to be able to provide more. I just think about how many of those kids would just rather have had dad home than an extra awesome Christmas present. Give me the little rag doll and be here instead. And I think about that. And so it's not a condemning of lots of work. It's a condemning of taking on more than what was actually apportioned to us from the Lord, what the Lord actually wanted. He'll lead us. If we'll just keep our heart right before him and go, Lord, do you want me to take this? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to add those extra hours? Do you want me to take on this extra project? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do this? And sometimes the answer might be yes. Just let him be the one that leads you into it instead of your own desire to provide for yourself, to make a way. Because I think we can wind up actually outside of the plan of the Lord regarding stewardship for our own lives, because we're called to steward not just our money, but our relationships, our own health, so many different aspects. And so finances is just one. At the same time, stewardship does mean working hard at whatever it is you have been apportioned to do. So the Lord gives you a job, or the Lord gives you a commission, or the Lord has you at home with your kids. Whatever it is that the Lord has apportioned you to do as your work, whether you're being paid for it or not, whatever it is that the Lord has apportioned you for your work, labor at it with all of your heart. I mean, that is a part of our stewardship, that the Lord would give us something and that we wouldn't mistreat it or allow dust to gather on it, that we would labor, that we would just go at it. The best picture I'm just imagining, back in the day in the agrarian culture kind of a concept, somebody's given this little field and they just look at it and go, that's the field God gave me. and I'm going to labor the heck out of that thing. I'm going to build a sweet little fence around it and keep all the critters out. I'm going to go out there every day and, you know, pull up the little weeds. I'm going to take care of that field. Whatever little field I've been given, I'm going to labor at it with all my heart, soul, mind, and say, I'm going to make that thing right because it's what the Lord has given me. And so for all of us, whatever your job is, whether you're a barista or you've got, you know, a big boy job or big girl job at this point, whatever it is that you're doing in a line of work, missionary, whatever it is, labor at it with all your might because it's part of your stewardship. And if you're not laboring at it with all of your energy, you're stewarding over what God has given you in a way that's not as honoring as it could be. Labor at what it is the Lord has given you well. It's part of your stewardship. It's not just about how you spend your money. It's about how you spend your energy in the field that the Lord has given you. So labor at your field well. And in the midst of all that, part of our stewardship is to use good business practices and not to, take dishonest gain or to do anything that's out of line in the area of work. We want to use a good and godly business practices. I've known some people over the years who were professing believers, and they were doing a lot of things right, but in the area of business, they were involved in some things that they shouldn't have been, and they knew it. And whenever they talk about it, they kind of look down and talk real quiet because they didn't want anybody to bust them or call them out that business practice or that thing that they were doing or that way that they were handling things really wasn't right at all, wasn't godly. And so we just want to, as a part of our stewardship, we want to steward with good business intentions. Well, I want to give you some to-dos. Some of these you may already have, you may already do, but I just want to, as we're wrapping up this series, I want to help us with some healthy financial habits, and there's a couple of groundwork pieces that I think will be helpful. First is, write out a budget. If you don't have a written budget, you need one. Written. Well, I got it upstairs. Man, I'm telling you what. You drive down the road, and you see 100 advertisements on the side of the road, and get 3 phone calls, and whatever it is you got upstairs on your budget is gone. Write that thing down. Write down a budget on a piece of paper or spreadsheet on your laptop, whatever it is, however you do that. Write it down somewhere, somehow, so you can look at it and put some real numbers in there as best as you can. Now, I've stepped people through this a few times, and there may be better ways to do this, so I'm not claiming that this is the best way, but I think it's a good way, especially for 20-year-olds. Here's the best way that I could suggest, if you've never done a budget before, here's the best way I could suggest that you do things. For a full month, get a receipt on every single thing you buy or spend. Everything you spend, every little dollar, every little penny, every little whatever, get a receipt and put it all in a box, okay? And you've got an assignment at the end of the month. Take that box and divide it out into categories. Well, this is how much I spent eating out. This is how much I spent, on groceries for just daily living. This is what I spent on my cell phone bill. This is what I spent on this. This is what normal bills, this was an extra thing. I gave this money away. Get all that together and make a little spreadsheet out of what you spent, out of every little dollar, and prepare to be embarrassed. I did this. Oh, my gosh. I remember the first time I did this. I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed because it was very clear where my priorities were. It was obvious. And I was like, I spent this much on what? Taco Bueno owns me. I'm like, this is not good news. This is seriously bad deal. And I started looking, and I was like, I thought I gave away way more than that. I only gave $1.25. I mean, it's like, you look at it, and you're able to see, and those numbers don't lie, because they showed you what really happened with the last 30 days of your life. And the reason I suggest doing this is so that you can get your priorities straight. So you can look at how you spent the money, and now you got real numbers to look at and go, I don't want that number in this category any higher than this. And that number needs to be way higher. I can't believe I was, so cheap or whatever, whatever the thing was. So I encourage people to do that, really because it's a very telling reality about your current state of thought process, priorities, finances, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's very healthy because those numbers won't lie to you. They will tell you what the last 30 days of your life really looked like financially. And I think that's a healthy thing to do. In the midst of writing out a budget, you need to include in that budget things that you want to give to, your regular expenses, a plan for non-essentials. You're going to have, more than likely, you're going to have some non-essentials that you're going to wind up purchasing or buying. And so unless you have figured out the secret of being 100% frugal, you better figure out something, because you're going to have some non-essentials. I mean, non-essentials, let me give you a non-essential, especially when you're really starting to try to figure this out for the first time. Your shoes have 17 holes in them, but they still fit. That's not an essential. Don't get new shoes yet. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Well, you're like, well, I need new shoes. Well, you want new shoes. So put that on your list. Have a list of, have a little bit of a budget for non-essentials, because those shoes still work. It's just, it would be nice, it would be super nice to have an extra pair of shoes, you know, that situation. So make a category for non-essentials spending, but things that, you know, you're probably going to want in the course of a month. And I think it's okay for you to get a pair of shoes if you got 17 holes in your other shoe. I think that's probably a good plan. So come up with some of those things. So that was to-do number one. Make a budget. You guys, make a budget. If you don't have one, I'm talking to you. Make a budget. Figure out where your money's going and how you're spending it. Make a budget. Have I said it enough? Make a budget. Second one, pray regularly over your finances. I just, a personal habit of mine, because I have the same routine every single morning, because I, you know, do the early shift over at the prayer room. I've got a routine that I've been in for years. Every single morning of my life, I pray for my finances on the way to work. I pray for the finances of my household, and I pray for the finances of the ministry. I do that every single morning. I pray for increase. I want to encourage you to do that. Ask God to engage you in the area of your finances. Ask the Lord to break in, to do things. Ask him for specific stuff. It is so cool when you see God give you one of those specifics that you asked for. You were praying for this very specific thing and he did it. You're just like, this is so cool. I can't believe he does this. But you wouldn't get that testimony, even if the Lord gave you the exact same thing, that you hadn't been asking for it. It's something so much cooler when it's the very thing that you've been asking for. And then the Lord does it. So I'm going to encourage you, in your routine somewhere, once a week, at night, when you go to bed, I don't know, you figure it out. Pray regularly. Lord, bless my finances. I'm giving, bless my finances. And then with that, make sure you're giving. Whatever you do, at no time in your life, never stop giving. Always be a giver. Let that 10% be a starting point. Always be a giver so that you've got something to ask the Lord to bless. You know? It's kind of like, you know, praying for the Lord to bless your work when you're not working. It's like, well, there ain't nothing to bless. Well, ask the Lord to bless your supernatural financial investment into the kingdom. When there's no seed, it doesn't work. So always be giving, and then ask the Lord to be blessing that giving and going, God, just do stupid stuff with it. Turn $5,000 or $5 into $3,000. Just go crazy, Lord. You know, crazy. I think he likes to do crazy stuff. Pray, engage him in the area of prayer and for your finances. Engage him in the place of prayer. So that's your second to-do. Third to-do, and this is related to your budget and related to giving, is develop a system that's going to work for you in your budget for your giving plan. When I say giving plan, I want to bring a couple of things up. First part of your giving plan is your tithe. You need to plan on that. You need to plan on that money not being a part of your budget. I mean, not a part of your operating budget. You need to plan on that 10% being gone, and you don't have it, and you can't use it, and you don't have access to it, you can't touch it. That needs to be written into your budget. But and the Malachi 3:10 verse, just a little reminder from one of the sessions that we did, says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. So bring the whole tithe into your local church, wherever you're plugged in as a local church. Bring your whole tithe into that place. But the truth of the matter is, the tithe is just the beginning. So you don't want to stop there. You want to figure out other ways to be able to invest finances into the kingdom. But if you don't have a plan, you'll wind up giving far less than you think you are, far less than you really want to be, and far less than you will wish you had later on. And so you need to budget it. And the easiest way I know how to do this, and you come up with your own system, I'm just making some suggestions. The easiest way I know how to do this is create another percentage. Make up your number. 1%, 2%, 10%, 50%, I don't know. Make up another percentage that you're going to use to be able to invest into people. That you're going to be able to give away to people. That you're going to be able to sow into people for 100 different reasons. Look at this Luke 16 verse. Luke 16, 9 through 10. I tell you, this is the words of Jesus, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little also be trusted with very much. Now, this is Jesus on the subject of giving apart from, in addition to, unrelated to tithing. This is him saying, now I want you to use your worldly wealth and I want you to invest in individuals. Gain friends for yourself. You know, I appreciate it if somebody makes a donation to the prayer room, but that doesn't make them my friend. Wouldn't they give me money? I'm just like, I can't believe this is crazy. There's something about finances sown into individuals that is different than sown into causes, sown into initiatives, sown into ministries, individuals. And Jesus says it this way, use your worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. He actually says it does something, it triggers something in the heart that when you invest in an individual and you sow money into a person, it unlocks something in them, it unlocks something in you. You care about them more because you kind of want to see how that goes. Like, where did that money that I gave them, like, what do they wind up doing with it? How does it bless them? What does it do? They're all excited because they're like, oh man, this is so cool, this is great. You know, I mean, it was just so much fun. And so the way to interact at this level, budget it, or it won't happen as much as you want it to. And I encourage, again, this my suggestion is, don't think dollar amount so much. You can do it that way. I say do percentage. I mean, the Lord's the one that came up with the concept of tithe being a percentage instead of a dollar amount. Instead of the Lord saying, the tithe must be $27.32. And you got to figure out how to translate that over to all the different currencies of the earth. Instead of doing it that way, he just said 10%. He said percentage. And I don't think that percentage was a whoopsie. I think it was actually a brilliance of heaven assigning percentage instead of dollar amount, because it's a percentage that no matter where you're at regarding your finances, that percentage is always going to have a fairly similar toll or sting or requirement, because it's a percentage instead of a set dollar amount. So if you're making them, you know, $100 a week and you're doing 10%, it's $10. But if you're you know, making $1 million a week, the percentage doesn't go up, but the dollar amount does, so that you're not still just giving $10 though you're making $1 million, you know? And so I think there's something wisdom in the percentage concept. So I want to encourage you, come up with your own. That's nobody else's business. I mean, you can talk about it if you want to, but don't let anybody else tell you what your percentage should be. Come up with another percentage of money every month. You're just going to give away. You're just going to get silly. You're going to give it to people. You're going to sow it into people. You're going to bless people with it. I'll give you a couple of little thought processes that maybe you've never thought about before, and I want to encourage you to engage the Lord on this. If you tip waiters, you're giving. If you buy birthday presents for your friend or your neighbor, you're giving. Well, there's a couple of pieces that are actually already a part of your budget that you weren't even thinking about. You probably do buy birthday presents for somebody, or Christmas presents, or Father's Day presents, something. You buy something. You're giving away money. Don't just give that away and not engage God. You're wasting it. Instead, when you buy that little toy for that little kid, go, God, I'm giving. You see me? I'm giving. God, give it. It'll be given back. I'm giving a little stuffed animal, but I'm expecting something in return from the living God, because I'm sowing. I'm investing into somebody. I am giving into this person's life, into this individual. Same thing with tipping. I want to encourage you, be silly good tippers. Not because you'll get better service, but because it's an area you're already kind of culturally expected to give. Give even more. Figure a way to bless that person that's serving you. Give even more. Well, it's tough to be able to do all this stuff all the time unless you've got it budgeted. But you've got birthday parties. You've got people who are like going to go on a mission trip. You've got intercessory missionaries that maybe just need a help that month. You got all these situations. I want to encourage you, budget funds that you plan on just giving away every month. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun. You got all this money that you can be able to sow into people, into individuals, and here's what the scripture says. Use your worldly wealth and you'll gain friends for yourselves. It's real. It's totally true. Do you know how much affection Jesus had in his heart for those that gave him money or gave him a place to stay? or gave him a place. He was close with those people. He spent time in their homes. They were giving to him. This is Jesus being real about the connection of the human heart when you give to individuals. So I would encourage you, come up with a percentage. 1%, 10%, whatever. 3%, 5%, whatever percent. I don't care. Come up with a percentage of your budget that you're thinking about how to give to others, because this will allow you, this will afford you the opportunity to do what 2 Corinthians 9 says, and that is to be generous on all occasions, because you've got a bucket of money that you're looking at going, where am I going to give it? How am I going to pour this out? Oh, maybe I'll pour out a little here, a little here. You're looking for opportunities to always be generous, and you've got money set aside to be able to do it because you budgeted it. Third category. You go, oh my gosh, there's a third category? Yep. There are going to be initiatives, ministries, things that the Lord puts on your heart that you want to sow into. The prayer room, you know, or some mission work, or a church planter, or, you know, a missionary that you want to support on a regular basis. You know, something up. The other category I was talking about, random acts of kindness. You know, random things that are not normal set. But there are going to be some things that you're just like, I care so much about this thing. I want to make sure I'm giving money to this thing all the time. A building campaign, a budget for this. I don't know. There's 100 different things, a bunch of different examples of what that can look like. Church plants, local ministries. There's all different kinds of things that can look like. I want to encourage you, set aside another percentage of your budget to be able to do that with. Such a huge blessing to have a bucket of money set aside. It's budgeted. It's not a surprise. It's budgeted so that when the need arises, so that when something comes up, you've got the ability to be able to sow into it, to invest into it. And then maybe you find yourself, and it's like, you know, you've got a job right now and you're making whatever amount, and you've got this idea, okay, I'm going to start setting aside 3% a month to be able to sow into the prayer room. Great example. And now you get a raise at work. And you're like, man, but I've also got this friend over here who's planting a church. I really want to be able to give to them. Well, when you got the raise, the overall amount that you have went up. So keep giving the dollar amount you were giving to the prayer room at 3% or whatever you were making before. And now give the increase to the church planter. And now the Lord blesses you, because remember, give and it'll be given to you. And now your finances increase, your household increase, your finances increase. And now you got more. And it's a year later and you get a raise. And you get this other opportunity and more money's coming in. You're still just doing 3%, but now you're able to support 3 different initiatives, things that are in your heart. It's so awesome to be able to do this. It's so much fun. It's so life-giving. It's such an ability to be able to make an impact, but it won't happen unless you budget it. So I'm going to encourage you in your budget. I just want to challenge you. Come up with these 3 categories. Your tithe, finances that you're going to sow, random acts of kindness, if you will. You know, people, just individuals specifically, and then initiatives. Because those initiatives, if you give all your money to the initiative, then you don't have any money to be able to bless the person. But if you give all your money to bless the person, then you don't have anything in the initiative, and there's stuff that's in your heart that you want to be able to give to, that you want to help with, that you want to be able to do. So I would encourage you, have those 3 categories. And it will, what this will do is it will safeguard you to be able to be generous at all occasions. And that's sweet. That's fun. And that's what the word says, is excel in giving. Be generous at all times, at all occasions. And the God of all comfort will see to it that you have abundance and that all of your needs are supplied for. And so it's a sweet little interaction. Listen, I've been doing it this way. The way I just suggested, it's not like I just made that up. I mean, I made that up a long time ago. I have been so glad that I've done that. It's been awesome. How much fun it's been to be able to sow into different things, and then life changes, seasons change, people come, people go, and to be able to move that money around and do something different with it, now move it over here and bless this person. It's so much fun. And it's a reason that the favor of God is on my life regarding finances. And again, there's dark seasons and there's sweet times, but the majority is there's more coming in than there is going out, because the Lord is blessing the heart of giving. So I just want to encourage you with that. Now, the only way this works, because, I mean, it's not like we're all made of money here. It's not like we've got so much overage that we can do whatever we want. If you all are secretly millionaires, I need you to come out of the closet and let me know, okay? But probably you're not. So what's probably the case is you're strapped. You've got some financial limitations. You've got a limited amount of income, and you've got some ways that you kind of need to spend that, want to spend that, ideas about how you want to be able to use your finances. This idea of being able to set aside some percentage for those three categories, your tithe, giving to individuals, and giving to initiatives, the only way that that's going to work is if you deny yourself. That's the only way it's going to work. It means you can't spend all your money on you. It means you have to come up with some self-imposed restrictions. Nobody's making you do it. It's not like anybody's looking over your shoulder to see, oh, how'd you do? How much did you give? No one's looking. I mean, God only. In order to be able to be generous on all occasions, you have to decide to put self-imposed restrictions on yourself and your spending habits. You just have to decide to. It doesn't work if you don't. You can't just live however you want to live with your finances and expect that this budgeting thing is going to work, because you're going to get to the end of the month and you're going to have any money left and you're going to go, oh, I didn't give any here and I wanted to. I didn't give any here. And I think it's been a month or two since I've tithed, actually. You don't want to get to that point. The only way it works is to self-restrict yourself, to decide, I want to do this more than I want to have the extra that. I want to embrace this concept of giving as a lifestyle more than I want to be able to spend all of what I have on myself and on the things in my life. And I recognize many of you might go, I don't have that much to even spend on myself. Great place to start. That's the perfect time. It's actually way easier. You will be so much so glad that you did it that way, as opposed to waiting until you've got abundance to jump into this lifestyle, because Jesus said, it is very difficult for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven, because the whole concept of the finances is the more that you have, there's a tendency, if you haven't trained your heart properly, the more that you have, there's a tendency that the more that you have, the more it has you. That's a tendency. It doesn't have to go that way, but if you haven't trained your heart, the more that you have, many times, the more it has you. Start with nothing. You're broke? Awesome! Perfect place to start. You got like $1? Sweet. Give 10% to the church. You know, give another 10% to people walking around. You're handing people a dime, and they're like, what's this for? You know, a gumball. Buy you a blue one, baby, on me. Yeah, yeah. Ten pennies goes into some other initiative. I'm telling you, start with the dollar. Start when you're broke. Start when you got nothing. Start when you're at the bottom of the deal. Start when you're like, I only had $17 this whole month to be able to spend on myself. Sweet. That means you won't miss it much, because $17 wasn't going to buy you much of squat. So go ahead and start investing it well now. Use those finances well now. Pick out these three categories of percentages and figure out how you're going to be able to do it so that you can live generously. Proverbs 11, 24, 25, let's remember the word of God. You're not doing it to be cool. You're not doing it to be a good Christian. You're doing it because it's real, it's biblical, and God promises to encounter you. Look what Proverbs 11, 24 says. One person gives freely, the broke person, you. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. How does that work? God. Give and it will be given to you. One person gives freely. Yeah, sure, I'll sow into that. Yeah, I've actually got some money set aside to be able to do that. Yeah, I'll give to that. I don't have a lot, but you can have it. Here it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Well, I was just trying to save up my money. I was just trying to be a good steward. You know, I didn't want to give away a bunch of my money that I was supposed to be spending on myself and on my, you know. A generous person will prosper, says the word of God. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. One of the reasons you want to give to humans, to people, and not causes only, is because the Lord promises that when you refresh another individual, the Lord sees it and he will refresh you. This is real. This is how the kingdom works. So I want to encourage you on this issue of your budget, and this is a tough one, and this is going to take some self-control, and I wouldn't be able to say it to you if I hadn't been doing it for a while. I want to encourage you, set that budget and call whatever percentage you come up with your new minimum. The new minimum. The old minimum was 10%. Make up a new minimum, 12%. 1% into this, 1% of that, 10% of this. 30%, 10% here, 10% there, 10% there. Whatever, whatever you do. Make a new minimum and don't back down. This is about, but before you do this, you got to count the cost a little bit. You got to think about what this is going to look like. You got to think about what this is going to mean. You got to think about what this is going to cost you, because it's going to mean you can't do everything you want to do and everything go the way that you want and blah, blah, blah. You got to count the cost in order to be able to make sure that it works. And you really have to come up with in your heart, you've got to be able to be okay with doing without. Philippians 4:12 says this: I know what it is to be in need. Philippians 4:12. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul said this. Paul's the one that taught. I mean, some of these verses we've been reading are Paul's teachings and thought processes on giving and generosity and that kind of stuff. Paul was a giver, I guarantee it. And in the midst of all this, he says, yeah, you know, sometimes I living this way means I don't get to eat what I want. It's okay. Sometimes living this way means I don't get to live how I want. Means I don't get to have what I want. Sometimes, you know, whatever it is, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance. In order for this thing to work, in order for you to be a generous giver, you have got to sometimes, you've just got to be okay with doing without. You know, I really wanted that thing. I gave away the money for the thing. I'm not going to get the thing. At least not today. And you got to be okay with that. The concept of being generous to build the kingdom requires self-imposed restrictions. You didn't have to do it. It was your own choice. You did it to yourself. Somebody might even look at you and call you crazy. You're like, I'm just trying to do this give it or be given thing. The Bible says a lot about it. I don't know. It's pretty crazy. But self-imposed restrictions is the only way it's going to work out. Now, I want to give you guys, this is just one of my little personal little tidbits, okay? And I want to encourage you to think about this, okay? Here's my proposal for you to think about. I don't want to call everybody to do it. I want to encourage you to think about the following concept and see if the Lord might lead your heart to some version of the following idea. Okay, this is a little nutty. I'm about to say something nutty here, folks. Here's my nutty idea. Pray that the Lord would give you some ideas, some wisdom of some version of this that might work for you and your household. I want to encourage you to think about, to pray about, not spending any money of your own on your wants. Not spending any money of your own on your wants. The necessities, you got to pay the bills, you got to do the stuff. And if it's not any, maybe it's just some very small percentage on yourself. So eating out, you know, having fun, going on vacation, doing all this stuff. I want to encourage you to not, to come up with some version of this and not spend money on your own pleasures. Instead, tell God you want Him to supply for every fun thing you get to do. Instead, ask God to bring in the finances to provide for every time you eat out, for every time you get that extra thing, every time you go shopping and get the extra clothes or whatever, every time you get the extra. I'm not talking about your necessities. You got bills to pay. You got, school loans or whatever you got to pay off. You got house notes and car this. And I get all that. You know, the car needs gas. The car needs an oil change. I'm not talking about just the stuff that you got to do to, you know, make life. I'm talking about the extra stuff, the fun stuff, your fun money, your blow it money. I want to encourage you to rethink your blow it money and maybe make that a really small percentage and instead engage God for your blow it. And go, God, if I'm ever going to eat out again, it's going to be because supernatural money came into my hand somehow. And then when the Lord gives you supernatural finances, put it aside. I want to tell you one of the reasons that I'm an advocate of this. It makes you bold to spend that money and do something silly when it comes in. It makes you bold to go on that vacation. It makes you bold to go out to eat. It makes you, I'm going out to eat with God's money tonight. Amen. It makes you bold because you didn't spend the money that you'd worked for, that you got from your paycheck, on yourself. Instead, you said, Lord, if you want me to be able to have some of these extra things in life, some of these extra fun things, I need you to provide for them because I don't want to spend the finances on myself. Now, again, this may not be for everybody, but I think some version of this, maybe a dialed down version, maybe it's some percentage that you're going to set aside and then ask the Lord to add to it. I think this is a healthy way to live. I think it's healthy. Because what it does is it keeps you from buying everything that you want. It keeps you from being able to just do whatever you want with your finances. And it keeps you leaning into God for finances to be able to do some of those fun things, buy some of those extra things. Now, again, I just made that up. I mean, I've been doing it for a while, so I didn't just make it up. This isn't like a biblical teaching. You don't have to do this. I think it's good counsel, though, because I've seen the fruit of it now for 10 plus years and watched God do it, watched God do some crazy things, that it wasn't because of finances that I was able to get through my job or my regular income. It was something extra that the Lord brought to my doorstep. It's like Andrew's testimony earlier. You know, he gave $5 and then all of a sudden 3,000 showed up. You know, and you go, oh my gosh, that was God. Like, that was so God. That was not at all what we were expecting that was going to happen. Supernatural finances came in. And what it does is I believe it really creates a way for us to lean into God and to not trust so much in ourselves and to not, and I think it's a balanced way to not spend so much on our own pleasures. Now, again, some version of that really may be the right thing for you and it may not be the right thing for everybody. But I'll tell you what, I think it's a wise way to live. I think it's a wise way to approach our finances to say, Lord, I know you love me so much. I know you want me to have fun. I know you want me to be able to enjoy life. I just, Lord, I'm not really sure about my own ability to temper my finances, and I might spend too much of my own money on myself and my pleasures. And so, God, I really need for you to supply for those things. So that's just a little personal, you know, a little window into my world and in how I process things. And I believe that that's going to be a good fit for a lot of you. Some version of that might be a better fit for some of you, but I just want to invite you into that. Now, with all that, I'm going to end with just a kind of a rapid fire on some healthy habits, okay? Avoid dishonest gain. The scriptures speak clearly about that. Avoid debt if at all possible. And in the case that you ever find yourself in debt, do everything that you can to get out of debt. The word makes that clear, Romans 13:8. That we should let no debt remain outstanding. And I'm saying that to you as I'm currently in debt, trying to do everything that I can to get out of it, okay? So I'm right there. The issue of credit cards. Some people are like, man, you should never have credit cards. Some are like, oh, credit cards are great. I just want to encourage you along these lines. If credit cards are a temptation for you to wind up in debt and for you to put yourself in a position where you're spending more money than you have coming in, that's probably not a good idea for you. However, there is a way to be able to utilize credit cards with the whole, you know, point system and rewards and stuff, that if you have the ability to manage your finances well, you can actually use credit cards to be able to help you in a tremendous way, to be able to add a little bit of finances into your income. And in the midst of all that, you do probably at some level want to have, just in an American cultural kind of a concept, have some form of credit that you're developing. Because at some point, you're going to want to get a car loan, or you're going to want to buy a house, or you're going to want to get a this, or you're going to want to do a that, and they're going to look at your credit score. And if you don't have any past credit history, with a credit card is probably the easiest on-ramp, then it's going to be a little bit difficult. So I just gave you some kind of opposing ideas, right? It's like, yes, you should have it. No, you shouldn't have it. You got to search that one out with the Lord and figure that out. I can see wisdom in both paths is my point. concept of education. You know, in all of this, you know, talk about not leaning on ourselves and our ability, you might go, okay, well, so then should we not go to college? You should follow the Lord. And if the Lord leads you to college, then you are totally crazy to not go there. But if the Lord doesn't, then you shouldn't. We don't want to look at our education as our provision. You know, I don't have a college degree. Amy does. Amy was a school teacher making a lot of money. I didn't have a college degree, and I was making a lot of money. And it's like, just follow the Lord, you know? So the issue isn't, I've got to get an education, or boo on education. Nobody should ever get that. Follow the Lord. concept of savings and retirement. I don't ever intend to retire in the traditional sense, but what I do plan on is my body getting old and feeble, should I make it that long. And that's probably going to mean that I'm not able to do all the things that I was able to do when I was young. And so it'd be nice to be able to have some finances set aside, not so that I can retire on the beach, but so that I can continue to do ministry and still have some finances. So I think that retirement and savings are wise. Amy and I, you know, have retirement accounts. I mean, I've got a Roth IRA account I've had for a number of years. And Amy's got a retirement account with AISD for working there for a while. but I'm not putting my faith in that account. It might get tanked tomorrow. They both might explode. The economy might go upside down. I think it's a good idea, but don't put your faith in it. Investing. As you see opportunities to invest, if the Lord leads you, be open to that. What if the Lord would give you an idea that if you invested rightly into it, could wind up bringing a lot of money into the prayer movement to be able to fund intercessory missionaries or to help launch, you know, praying churches or who knows? Like, be open to that. The Lord might do that. I've been eyeing some investments over the course of the past couple of years, just kind of seeing what the Lord might do or say with that. That's okay. I mean, it's don't put your hope in it, but keep your eyes open to it. Living outside of your means is a big no-no. I'll just end with that one. Is Proverbs 13:7. This is really important that we understand the principle here of Proverbs 13:7, and that is not pretending that we have money we don't have, to not live outside of our means, to not make steps, choices, do things that we really don't have the ability to do. It's a normal thing in our culture for people to spend more than they have, and that's not healthy. It's a normal thing in our culture to try to pretend like we've got more finances and therefore buy the bigger this and have more of that, and that's not healthy. Proverbs 13:7 says, one person pretends to be rich, he has nothing. But another person pretends to be poor, yet he has great wealth. Here's what the principle is. One person who really doesn't have that much money is spending the money on the appearance of looking like he has money, and as a result, he can't hardly eat because he spent all his money on making it look like he's got his stuff together. Another person who's actually got a little bit of money, he pretends to be poor. He pretends, he's like, I'm not going to live like I've got all this money. Instead, I'm going to live below my means. I'm going to pretend to be poor. And as a result, I'll have great wealth and I'll have the ability to be able to provide. When you look at all this stuff together, again, I just want to recap it this way. We want to have healthy financial habits to set ourselves up to be stupid, crazy, big givers. Investing in generosity on all occasions kind of givers. We want to have good financial habits so that we can be crazy givers, so that we can encounter God in crazy ways.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.